6. This chapter opens up with our Lord talking about giving. We know that chapters 5, 6, and 7 are what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord preaching this Sermon on the Mount. And he opens up chapter 6 speaking on the subject of giving. And as we saw when we looked at it, we don't give to be saved. We don't do that to be saved, in order to be saved. We give because we are saved. We give to say thank you for saving us. Thank you. It's a loving response to everything that He has already given to us and already done for us. And then our Lord, in the next few verses, went on to talk about prayer. And as we saw when we looked at it, we don't pray in order to be saved. Ask and it shall be given you. Well, we don't pray in order to be saved. We pray because the Spirit of God has made us alive by quickening us together with Christ and giving us a union with Him. You know, until life is given, a man or a woman can't pray. He or she is dead. How can a dead man pray? So, prayer is not the cause of salvation. Giving is not the cause of salvation, and prayer is not the cause of salvation. It's a response to salvation. Because God has joined us together with Him. And when I say God, I mean Father, Son, and Spirit. God, because of that, we pray. Because He did something, we pray. These things are responses. All right? They are results to what God has already done. Now, I tell you that, I open this way, because the same thing applies to what our Lord is about to say regarding forgiveness. I need to say this. I want us to know this before we read these two verses. All right? Before we read them, let me make it clear that we don't forgive others in order to be saved. This is really important. I want to make sure. I believe we know this, but I want to make sure, because we're about to read two verses that are going to grab our attention. They really are. We do not forgive in order to be saved. All right? We forgive others, and we ought to forgive others because we have been saved. And our Lord is making it very clear that this ought to be the response to our salvation. That is a response, just like the rest of it, to salvation. And our Lord is telling us that ought to be our response because of salvation. All right, now let's read these verses. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? That sounds conditional, doesn't it? That sounds conditional. He said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That sounds conditional. Here's the thing. It is. Our Lord said exactly what He meant. He means exactly what He said. It is. It is conditional. We're going to see that in just a minute. But what we just said before we read those two verses still holds true. And we're going to see that too. He just instructed us right before that on how we should pray. And in verse 12, He said that we should ask the Father to forgive us our debts. as we forgive our debtors. He said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He said, we need to constantly be mindful of the fact that we have sin that needs to be forgiven. We need to constantly be mindful of the fact. As soon as someone sins against you, your own sin goes out the window. You forget about it. You know, our Lord is in all of this. He's talking about, you know, we're trying to pick the mote out of our brother's eye, and we're knocking everything over with a big beam coming out of our own. But we don't see that. And he said, we need to constantly remember that we have sin that needs to be forgiven. We are sinners. Forgive us our debts. That's what he said. Pray, Father. This is what our Lord taught us. Pray, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Teach us to forgive others. And then in verse 13, he attaches to that, lead us not into the temptation of pride and the bitterness of not forgiving others. I'm trying to connect all this. He's talking about forgiving, forgiving. Forgiving, forgiving. And in the middle of that, he says, lead us not into this temptation of pride and this bitterness of not forgiving others. He said, deliver us from that evil. Deliver us from that evil. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, let me say again that what our Lord is saying right here, this is not a condition for our salvation. The only condition on our salvation is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. God does not require us to forgive others in order to forgive us. He doesn't require us to do something first and forgive first before he will forgive us. The only thing that God required in order to forgive us was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. I want to establish that and prove it, and then we'll move on. All right, turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 9. This is speaking of Christ. It says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He took away the works of the law, that he could establish grace through his blood. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stood, he was saying throughout the Old Testament, they stood, they standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Who were his enemies? Us. Expecting. We're going to be brought to his feet. Verse 14 says, for by one offering he hath, and I want to bring attention to that four-letter word, H-A-T-H. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And don't you love that? Now, where remission of these is, if you're in remission, that means it's gone. there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath, H-A-T-H, he hath consecrated, he has made new for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. He hath, by his one sacrifice, he perfected, he remitted, that means he made the payment, and he forgave. While our Lord hung on that cross, he cried, "Father, forgive them," and he did. He did. Turn with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 verse 6, it says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." We have it. We have it. In his blood, we have it, all right? So, look at Ephesians 4. In his blood, we have it. He did it. So, Ephesians 4, verse 31. It says, "Let all bitterness." Now let's apply this to ourselves, okay? Let's apply this to life. Let's apply this to just the way that we are. All right? Let all bitterness. And I want to point out too that this is something that involves me, myself, and I. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, that means outcry, tumult. You know, people, "I just can't stand it anymore. I'm going to cry out." And evil speaking, that means slander, vilification, trying to vilify somebody. "Be put away from you with all malice," that means ill will, a desire to hurt. Let all that be put away. Verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath," H-A-T-H, "hath forgiven you." He said, "Forgive one another because, for Christ's sake, God the Father has," not will, as soon as you fulfill one of his conditions that he's laid out there, "he has forgiven you." He has. With that being established, let's acknowledge the fact that our Lord is commanding us. When we read what he says, we don't say, "Oh no, that's not what he means." No, he wrote what he means. Our Lord is commanding us because of the forgiveness that has been shown to us. He is commanding us to forgive each other. Or he said, there will be consequences. There'll be consequences. Not spiritual, but physical consequences. We are children of the Heavenly Father. We're children of the Heavenly Father. And I know this is not popular anymore. It was not popular when I first became a pastor 9 years ago, and it's really not popular now. It's changed in 9 years. It'll change in 9 more. not only is it not popular, but this is even considered to be wrong, and it's considered to be cruel. But the Holy Word of God says, and it commands, that fathers are to discipline their children. Mothers are to discipline their children. Solomon said, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." You just don't care how you turn out. Don't care how the child turns out. You know, just let them go. Let them have their way. Solomon said, "But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." That means the father that loves his son or loves his daughter will chasten him or her every time he or she needs it. I'll be honest with you. I am so grateful that I was born back in the day when you could just tear into anybody's kid. At Walmart, if a kid acted up, you'd tear into that kid too. I really am. I am so glad my parents, you know, my dad jerked a knot in my tail. In my tail. That means spank. The awful words. He spanked me. Thank God. I don't begrudge him for that. I'm so thankful that he did that. He taught me, "Son, you're not going to do that. We're not going to go that way." And you know why he did that? He loved me. That's why. It's because he loved me. And I'll just tell you, and this is serious, our Heavenly Father loves us. He loves us. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. I want to point out that at the beginning here, he's telling us in verse 2 that Christ finished salvation. He says that before he says what we're going to look at. He said, "Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It's finished. Salvation is finished. All right, now look at verse 5. He said, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers," meaning every soul on this earth is without his chastisement, if they don't belong to him, "and if you're like them, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." He said, salvation is finished. You are my child. Now, as my child, I expect you to obey me. That's what he's saying. And if you don't, I'll deal with you as a father deals with his child. And his commandment to us in our text is, as you have been forgiven, forgive. Forgive. You say, well, they don't deserve it. He said, neither did you. But your father dealt lovingly with you, kindly with you. He did it by showing mercy to you and forgiveness to you. Mercy and forgiveness that we didn't deserve, wasn't owed to us, but for Christ's sake, we received it anyway. We received it anyway. Just think about it. After our Lord has dealt so kindly with us and so lovingly and so tenderly with us, do we really think it's pleasing to Him to turn and deal harshly with someone else? You know, our Lord gave that parable of the man who owed his king 10,000 talents. And the king demanded it of him, and he couldn't pay, and the king was going to deal very harshly with him, deal with his family, deal with everything. And he begged for mercy, and the king said, "You know what? You've tugged at my heart. You're freely forgiven, everything, wiped clean, freely forgiven." That man went out and found another man who owed him 100 pence. He owed the king 10,000 talents. Another man owed him 100 pence. And he said, "You pay me right now." And the man said, "I can't." He grabbed him by the throat, it says, and demanded it and had him thrown in prison. And the king found out, and he was sore displeased. He said, "You bring that man to me. I'm going to deal with him." And he did. He did. Christ has satisfied eternity for us. He satisfied all the consequences of eternity, and He's made us to be joint heir children of the Father with Him. And as children of the Father living in this physical world, He does demand certain things of us, certain physical things. And if we disobey, I can tell you from experience, if my dad had children again, I'd tell them, "Listen, you're a joint heir with me." I'm telling you from experience, if he tells you and you disobey him, he's going to chasten you. These things he demands. If we disobey these physical demands, as a loving father, he will chasten us. And he tells us that in the Sermon on the Mount, all these things, he deals with all of it. I want to show you in Luke's account. All we have to do is look at Matthew 7, verse 1, and he deals with it. But let me go to Luke's account. Go to Luke 6. Luke 6, verse 27. He said, "I say unto you which hear..." Yeah, Luke 6, 27. "I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you." And I'd venture to say that we don't have too many enemies, and there's not too many people who we know of who hate us. But if we do, this is what he says, how to respond. "Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you." Is he saying to just make a big outward show and just, you know, prove your... No, he's talking about just on the inside. He said, "Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." And when I read that, I put the name Gabe Stonecker right there. You talk about that unthankful and evil, and He's kind. Verse 36 says, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." He said, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together. And running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's what our Lord is telling us. And this is a real thing. This is a real thing. As children of our Heavenly Father, we need to know that this is a real thing. He said, the same measure that you meet with all, that's what's going to be measured to you. If we want peace, peace in this earthly world that we live in, Christ has made peace with the Father for us. But if we want peace, we need to be peacemakers. We just do. We need to be peacemakers. If we want friends, who doesn't want friends? That's a great point of depression. I don't have any friends. If we want friends, we need to be friendly. We need to first show ourselves friendly. If we want to be loved, we need to love. If we want to be forgiven when we slip up, and we will, I'm telling you, our sin will rear up and show itself. If we want to be forgiven, we're going to have to forgive. We're just going to have to forgive. Let's forgive each other. Let's forgive each other. We don't deserve it. It doesn't matter. Let's forgive each other. Forgiveness is the basis of the gospel. It's the whole reason Christ came. It's the whole reason. There's not going to be one soul in glory who is not well acquainted with the fact that the only reason he or she is there, the only reason is because of the forgiveness that is in Christ. Only reason. The loving, gracious forgiveness that was freely, kindly given to them in the sacrifice that Christ made. Forgiving all their trespasses, blotting out all their sins in His own precious blood. So let's forgive each other. I'm done. But a man named William Jay walked into John Newton's office one time and said, "Brother Newton, did you hear about that old sinner out there in the gutter? The Lord saved him." He said, "No, I didn't hear about that." William J. said, "Brother Newton, I'll never despair of anybody since God saved him." And John Newton said, "Brother J., I'll never despair of anybody since God saved me. I'll never despair of anybody since God saved me. If the Lord forgave me, He's able to forgive anybody. And if He's able to forgive, Lord, let me be. Make me able to forgive. Let's find somebody who needs forgiveness and give it to them. We can give it to them right now. I promise I'm done. But I just want to say this. We can give it to them right now. You don't have to get up and leave and go find somebody. You can give it to them right now. It doesn't take a big action. It doesn't take a big event. It does not take a big announcement. We can forgive even without anybody knowing about it. We don't even have to tell anybody. All we have to do is let it go. That's all we have to do. Let it go. And say, as Christ in His love has literally covered all of my sin, in that same love that He's given to us, I cover yours. In the blood of Christ, your sin is blotted out to me. In the blood of Christ, your sin is blotted out to me. As He remembers my sin no more, may He give me the ability to remember your sin no more. You know, I forgive, but I'll never forget. Lord, help me to. Lord, give me a little heavenly amnesia. Help me to forget. Our Lord said, when that kind of mercy is shown from you, that kind of mercy will be shown to you. We're going to need it. That's the point I'm really wanting to get to. We're going to need it. We are still sinners on this earth. We are going to need it. And our Lord said, blessed are the merciful. They're going to get what they dish out. They're going to. mercy and forgiveness. I pray the Lord will teach us that. Lord, teach me that. Spare us from the rod of chastening. Spare us from that, Lord. He said, if you've sinned forgiveness to your brethren, I'll send forgiveness to you. May the Lord make it so.